The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday morning. Starting a little late this morning. You okay?
Yeah, I got locked out of pretty much everything.
Can I ask you a question?
There's a theme, huh?
Can I ask?
That's a theme. Don't get... there's an Instagram
post. I love you. You're my best friend, so I'm not going to...
No, go ahead.
I understand. You're a psychologist.
I don't have my shit together? Is that what you're saying?
I am not saying that. Like, for example, yesterday, because of when I moved, it takes 23 minutes to get back to my kid's school on a good day.
Yes.
So I made a dry run before I got my kids back. I got my car.
Oh, well, I thought you made a dry run yesterday.
I got my car at 7:05
to
see if I can make it, because I have to be there by 7:45, but I have to come back here to work. So I made a dry run.
Yeah.
And then I made another dry run at 5 minutes till 7 and found out that the 5 minutes till 7 worked a lot better. You know, if you leave like 10 minutes apart, it doesn't mean it's going to be a 10-minute difference. Sometimes if you leave 10 minutes early, it's 30 minutes difference based on the traffic. It's just a matter of whether you hit. And so I knew that it's at 6:55. If we're out the door and we're on the road at 6:55, we're going to go on back here by 8. So yesterday I get to school and my son... special needs son, who, you know, I'm just happy to have my head screwed on right, says, "Where's my bag?" And I was like,
"Yep."
And I'm blessed enough that I got a job where I can push some things off, and I do my shows later in the afternoon. So basically, I drove 2 hours, and I felt like a fool because, I mean, I had the damn dogs in the car. I remembered to bring the dogs, but I didn't remember to bring his bag.
Yeah, it happens all
the time. So for a guy like you who has got his shit together, you're a psychologist. I mean, you got your shit. You deal with this stuff.
No, I'll tell you what it is. There's two things. One, I am still not quite used to the studio being farther in terms of my cadence of things.
Okay.
So that's one. But it's an excuse, but it's not an excuse.
It is a little bit.
Okay. Because there is a traffic factor that was not there before.
Yeah.
Not a massive traffic.
But you know, it's 30 minutes.
Yeah. So that's number one. Number two.
Forget about the show. I don't care about it.
No, here's my personal flaw. And this is something I tell people all the time that I don't do, particularly in the mornings. So in the mornings I get up, I go work out early.
Yeah.
I find that as I'm getting older, it's not so much that I'm moving slower, but I dink around a little bit more than I ever used to. I used to just like spring out of bed, go, hit the gym by 5 a.m. Yeah. Now I'm kind of like, you know, a little bit on social media, have a cup of coffee, whatever.
That's good.
No, that's fine.
That's great.
What I do not do well enough is I do not pad my morning routine to take into account slight error variance, things, mishaps, slight mishaps.
Yes.
Slight mishaps. You know, I don't know, like I can't find my shoes or whatever. I take that back. I got into account that. Like, if I can't find my socks or whatever, I've got that stuff already.
Yeah.
What I don't take into account are things like, what if, I don't know,
lock yourself out of your house. I'm like, well, I don't get angry. I'm just kind of like.
Well, because I'm scrambling.
That's not normal.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's not normal for people to get locked out of their house.
Well, yeah, because I'm grabbing all my stuff and I forgot my keys. And I locked the door and I walked out.
If a washing machine goes out of whack or something, I get it.
Yeah.
It happens.
So I locked that. I did that. Then I locked myself out of the car.
But that's not normal to get locked out of your house.
No, it's not normal, but it doesn't happen every week.
No, but I mean, no.
No, and I don't come in and go, like, dude, I got locked out of my house again.
So let's be psychological about this.
Yes.
So.
What can I do? Do you want me to do this myself? What I should be doing is, A...
get up a little earlier.
Yeah, that's... yes. And then...
and allow yourself extra time.
And B... and I think some of this... this is really interesting. I am doing a lot of self-disclosure, which I never...
No, that's great. I'm not scolding
you. No. And I'm...
because we can all learn from this.
This is almost a therapy session.
I was going through this morning. Yeah, you see these... most of them are moms. Because I guess dads are off to work. But most of the carpool are moms. And you see them just... staring off, they're on their phones, their kids, they're going like this.
Yeah, because it's
and there's no wonder why we don't have more, you know, mass shootings and road rage and stuff, because it just seems like everyone is such a
shit show.
They're pouring their coffee and they're spilling their stuff and they're trying to rush to get out of the house. And I'm like,
yes.
And it only takes like 5 to 10 extra minutes a day. Yes. And I'm not perfect. I'm not.
Yeah.
But
no, but you're always
my daughter's like,
you're always prompt. You are always, always prompt.
Well, because I never know when there's going to be an accident. I try to control what I can control. My daughter the other day, she's like, I can't be late for school. And I said, Lila Jane, I said, you will never be late for school with me. I said, I will make sure that you're always on time. I said, now, if you are late, it's because everybody's late. If there's a mass pile up on 459, and I can't do anything about it. I can't leave at 3 a.m. to get you here in time. But if I leave 15 minutes early and we're still late, then it's...
That is a great parenting tip.
Yeah.
No, because what you said, that was super slick the way you said that.
Like yesterday.
You will never be late because of me.
Because of me. That's right.
Now, if there's traffic, everyone's late, and I can't control that.
And by the way, when I took the bags back to school yesterday, there were 17 other bags in the lobby.
Oh, that happens.
I said, Dad's an idiot, forgot the bag. She goes, honey, look at those bags over there. There's 17 pairs.
Well, you used to live close, and I used to live close.
I'm not.
So let me tell you. I'll tell you what it is. There is another factor, which I did not think about until you just brought this up. This is what I love doing this, and why when I go back and watch us on Facebook Live, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, Tony just gets me to say crap that like I would never say.
Yes.
So here's the other thing. I am an empty nester.
Yeah.
Right? And I've been an empty nester for a while, not a long, long time, but for a while. And when you are an empty nester, you have more time.
Yes.
You have more time. I think part of my challenge, and my job has changed a little bit where it's a little more sporadic. It's not go in at 8 and come out.
Yeah.
So I think for myself, because my schedule is a little sporadic and because I'm not rushing to get kids off or checking in or whatever, I get, like I said, I get off cadence. I used to get out of bed, jump out of bed, and I'm going.
Yeah.
One thing, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. Now, I'm like, oh, I got 5 minutes. I got 3 minutes. I got 4 minutes. And it has really thrown me off so that I am frequently a little late to things. I think the other thing that's happened is, and I'm actually seeing this some of my clients, this combination of, you know, when we were all remote, when everything was remote, you had your routine. I'm messing up now a little bit because, like, sometimes I'm remote or I'm at home, you know, in front of a screen, and then sometimes I got to go someplace.
Yeah.
And then I'm not figuring out how much time it takes to put my pants on and tie my shoes. So, like, my time sense is a little messed up. These are not excuses. These are self-discoveries that I need to work on. And because you moved the damn studio 16 miles away.
Well, it's just my fault. Yeah.
All of my faults now are accentuated on Thursday mornings.
I didn't want to move the studio.
I know you didn't. I was doing everything I could short of buy you a studio.
Here's the difference. I got to call you out a little bit. If you had a speaking engagement in front of 5,000 people, you would not be late.
No, but... I've
seen you,
not early, not anymore.
Like for the Ivan Maisel thing, you were there.
That's different.
Why?
Because
it's still an engagement. You're still
And I was coming. That's true. I actually was coming.
You're there to serve people.
Yeah. I'm getting worse at that because here's the other thing.
Yeah.
The reason I'm getting worse at it is those things don't make me as nervous as they used to. So when I'm super nervous, you know, I'm sitting in the parking lot 30 minutes early. But, like, those things don't make me as uncomfortable as they used to.
That's
so, like, I, you know, to say I roll in is probably an exaggeration.
I've worked with several people that...
I know you have.
It's almost PTSD for me because I'm... Well, it's not the show doesn't start or my work doesn't start or whatever, but it's kind of like...
I know.
And for the most part, they make it every time.
Right.
But they're right on time. And I equate it to a date. You know, if you're going out with a woman and you're supposed to meet her for dinner at 6 o'clock and she's 15 minutes late, I got caught in traffic. Okay,
yeah.
That's fine. And then when it happens again, you start feeling like maybe she doesn't want to be here with me. I'm not using this for you. I'm not using this for any type of situation.
No, it makes
my mom. Here's my deal. Here's my issue. My mom was late for everything, and it really effed up.
It's a sensitive thing.
My dad was always on time.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And it would drive my dad crazy.
Yep.
And my mom got to the point where my dad would get her up 10 minutes early. He was setting clocks back, not telling her, doing whatever. And, of course, I got a little extra time. I got 15 minutes early, and then she'd be late again. I mean, my mom was late for everything. Now, I think a lot of it was because she had an ego and she wanted to be seen coming in. And then, of course, she was the last one to leave. It would take her 45 minutes to say goodbye to everybody. And I think that sticks with me a little bit. But I remember, you know, the one thing that is super important and expensive in our world that we can't get back is time.
Yes.
And I love you. I'm not schooling.
No.
I'm schooling. I think it's interesting. But it is amazing that how people habitually are always late. And I'm like, and the thing is they're telling me. And they're flustered. They can't sit down. They can't meditate. Yes. They can't get centered. And I'm like, leave a little earlier. And they're, and they're like, yes. And then the next day they do the same. And I don't care. They're late. It doesn't affect me. They're late. It's
no,
fine.
But they're
coming to me going, I got it. And they're flustered. And then they forget their things. And they can't remember what they did. And I'm like, and I just kind of.
Yep. Yes, that's
good. You know, you were up till 11 o'clock last night, scrolling through Facebook and watching, you know, your Discovery Channel show and. You know, you had extra time for that, and it, all you have to do is set your alarm for 10 minutes. And it's just because I think a lot of people. Here, my point is, and I thought of this well before I even knew what was going on. Because as I was sitting in carpool, I just saw these. It was bumming me out. I'm an early morning guy. I allow for extra time because, and sometimes, you know, it gives you more time to put shit in your head. But I just saw, I just kind of looked around, and people were like,
yeah, because it's
going nice.
But school is a different thing. Listen,
yeah, I know.
You did. I mean, you, the school thing with kids.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, the irony for me is that it makes me nervous to be late. Like, I don't like, I'm not habitually late.
No, you're always on time. No, you're
late here. Because you moved the studio 23 miles away to mess up my schedule.
No, when you say don't kill me, I don't like it.
I know.
I don't get angry. I'm like,
but the school thing, you know, I was kidding with you about the 3-hour round trip in the minivan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, listen, the parents, it's usually moms, but the parents who've got to do morning drive to school, it is, we have, if you're a guy and you say, I got to go to work,
it gives them excuses.
You need to take those kids to school.
Yeah.
You need to do it because because you got more, even one kid, I was going to say, if you got more, but even one kid, it's not just you, it's them. And you can get up early and you can wake their ass up early. And even if you do, I can't find my thing. And even if you have kids, here's the other thing. My two kids are very different. I've got one kid who is very time urgent. The other is always on time, but it doesn't bother him, right?
Yeah.
My other one gets nervous when we're running late.
Yeah.
And so that actually was helpful. It was like she was always on time. My older was like, he was never late, but he just, you know, he wasn't going. But kids have a different sense of time.
Yeah.
And so it's you know, if you think about it, if you ask moms or dads who are driving to school in carpool, go and you don't have to take your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be there at 7:30. Most of them would be fine.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be like, It's the kid factor. It's a pain in the ass.
See, this is very therapeutic for me. This is why we got into this from a psychological standpoint, because now I remember how it directly affected me and why I am the way I am today, because I used to serve mass. I was an altar boy for 6-7 years.
Tony Curry was an altar boy.
Yes.
Okay.
And my mom was always late for 8:30 mass. I was the one watching the Carol Burnett show and Love American Style. She's like, go to bed, you're never going to make church. I was always ready.
Right.
Man, back in the day, we had the flu. You were going to church. You were going to church. My dad never went to church because he worked all night. You know, he was getting home after we went to church. So it was my mom's responsibility to get all four of us kids, God love her, God rest her. And but she was always late. And so I knew getting late to church, if I walked in the pew, the priest would see me.
Yeah.
And if we were an altar boy short, which we were almost every Sunday morning, 8:30, I had to serve. So I would sit down and I'd look up and I'd see the priest looking right at me and he's like, get up here. So I would have to go up, and I was kind of a shy kid, believe it or not. And I would have to get up, go behind the church, put the cassock on, and then I'd come walking out during the first or second reading, and I knew everyone was watching me, and that really bothered me. So this is good. This is good. You're helping me this morning. See, this is deep.
This is deep. This is a therapy.
And I remember it was like being the last person on an airplane.
Yeah.
That's the worst. When you're the last dude to get on an airplane, no one wants to get up their seat. You see there's two empty seats, and they're all looking down the floor. They're moving their stuff over because they don't want you to sit next to them. And you can't find, and you're opening up everything, and everyone's like, because you're the reason the flight's going to be late, which is not true. But you're the last guy to get on. You're flustered. You just want to sit down, and you just kind of want to ball up a little bit. That's what it felt like for me in church because I knew everyone was looking at me. Yep. I was awkward. I was tall. I had a big nose, big feet. I was already kind of awkward, and pimples. And my mom would make me late. And I knew I was going to have to go up there and walk in front of the entire congregation. And people were probably saying to themselves, what the hell is wrong with that kid? Why can't that kid be on time?
So that just came out.
Oh,
man. Let's do this, finish up this parenting segment, because this is a really good one.
Yeah, it ain't about the...
No. When your parents make you late...
Yeah.
And it is... I mean, first of all, your parents shouldn't make you late. Because you, as a child, you don't have control over it. Okay. And then particularly if you have a child who is sort of time sensitive, kids are very interesting that way. Some kids just are.
Wasn't it strange that my 10-year-old daughter would say to me, please don't, she does not want to be late. And I'm like, that's great.
You know, my daughter's the same.
And it's not so much because the teacher's giving her time. She just doesn't want to be the last one walking into class.
That's right.
Because none of her classmates are like, where the hell you been?
Well, that's right. And if you're a parent, if you consistently are getting your kids to events late, you do two bad things. If you have a kid who's time sensitive, it makes them anxious to be late. Every single time, you're just making your kid more anxious and, to your point, resentful of you. I mean, you're basically showing them that you're not responsible. Then the other way is if your kid doesn't really care that much, now you're just showing your kid, oh, it's fine, doesn't matter, just show up late.
Yeah.
It's bad either way. I mean, part of what you're supposed to do as a parent, and look, I get it, there are going to be times, but as a parent, you have to set that example, and so you can't be perpetually late for the same reason you wouldn't be perpetually late at work. And if you are that parent who's both perpetually late at school and kid stuff and perpetually late at everything else, you send a message because I'm just implicating myself. Sorry. You send a message to people that you really don't care enough about whatever that event is. Okay, I'm done. Okay. But maybe we'll come back. We'll come back in a minute and we'll talk about pornography or something.
I don't care what happens. I love you. You're my best friend. You're always good. All right. We're going to take a short break. real short break. About 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, because I need a tissue.
Go pee. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Don't be late. Coming up next, can you live off $200 million for the rest of your life?
You should.
I don't think so. I'm going to tell you why. Plus, today a very special birthday. And we're going to talk about what we're getting into on Fox 6 this morning, which is great. Kind of juicy stuff. Are you a person that gets gawked at gyms? We're going to be talking for you and about you in just a minute right here on Facebook Live. TKR, by the way. Check out the TKR app. It's fantastic. Classic rock, 24 hours a day. We did a great show last night. We did Brian Johnson's favorite driving tunes.
That's cool.
On the AC/DC Live Wire Wednesday, brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing. It was fantastic. It's a great show. We're doing Mission Minded today. We're doing Mark Ingram's UAB's Director's Chair today. We're doing When in Rome with Stuart Rome, a great music show today. Students of the Game, Need to Know with Kip Kiefer. The Kiefer and Curry Show is coming in February. It's a great sports show we're going to be doing. Wanna Bet and more. So great shows. Check out our Tony Curry Radio Podcast, a series. Just search Tony Curry Radio Podcast or show up on Audio Boom, iTunes, Spotify, or on everything. Check this out. We'll be back in now 1 minute right here on Facebook Live.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.